morning we have the second part of our series about sheep. There were originally supposed to be three parts to this as God unfolded this for me, but actually there's going to be four. We talked last week about Christians being followers, the importance of being a follower, using the 23rd Psalm. Today we're talking about Christians being flockers. Okay? Very interesting concept. I don't know where God comes up with these sometimes when He gives them to me, but very interesting as we read Jesus speaking in John chapter 10. Jesus was walking around teaching, and the reaction of people was very interesting. I always like to see how people react to what Jesus taught back then. And it's interesting that things really haven't changed a whole lot in a couple thousand years. When we read God's Word and see Jesus' words and Jesus' teaching, people react in various ways, but very similar to the way they did 2,000 years ago. So this word is very relevant to our day today. There's a lot of misconceptions about sheep in our culture today. But throughout the Bible, there's a common analogy of about sheep, God's people and sheep, a comparison made between God's people and sheep all throughout the Bible. In Genesis chapter 4, we read that Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. The people in the Old Testament, back in Genesis, the Genesis days, were mostly agrarian people. They were farmers, but they were also herders. They were keepers of animals. So when we read this word and read about the people, God's people being sheep, it made sense to them. They could make the connection. The word flock, though, as we read about a flock, is used collectively throughout the Bible to refer to a group of certain animals. And the root word of many of the ancient words for flock implies a group of animals that migrate. Okay, and that's what was taking place in the Old Testament. The people who were shepherds, they had flocks, they had sheep, and oftentimes their wealth was in their animals. They sustained them and they kept them going. They were food. They could sell them, they could trade them, and they had to go from place to place in order to feed those animals. The animals would eat at a certain place for a while, it would become barren, so they'd have to, in faith, lead them to a new place. And what was interesting was the animals were faithful in trusting the shepherds to take them to those places. Because they had learned the shepherds were not going to take them to barren lands. They were going to lead them beside quiet waters, the green pastures where they could eat, be refreshed. And we read about that in Psalm 23. And David referring to the Lord being his shepherd. Many people have implied that sheep are dumb. You see, there's been a lot of false teaching from the Bible about sheep, that sheep are dumb, and we're sheep, we're followers of Christ, we're his sheep, and we're like the sheep. Well, I don't like to be called dumb, and I don't think that's why the Bible uses those words to describe followers of Christ as his sheep and his flock, because sheep are actually very smart. Sometime talk to Virginia, Pastor Virginia, about it. She can tell you sheep are very smart. You see it by their ways and their habits. You know, when it's feeding time, they know. They seem to have this knowledge. Okay? When the shepherd, their shepherd, their owner, their master comes, not only do they recognize them, but they recognize their voice. They can hear and they can differentiate between their master and a stranger. So, I don't want to say they can reason, but they understand in a certain way that says they're not really dumb. And one of the things that they do is flock together. They flock together for various reasons, mainly because they know they're better protected in a flock. That they're stronger in numbers. You see, when the wolves come and they're threatened, that it's the bigger flock that can overpower and outsmart the wolves. They know that separate by themselves that they're in danger, that they have no strength or no power by themselves. Wow. That's a 2-hour long sermon on the importance of being involved in the flock, being together, because in our day today, Christians like to be separate. They say, well, I don't want to be with those people. I don't really mesh well with them. I know really what they're like every day. I see them every day. I don't really want to associate. And they think they can have a relationship with Jesus all by themselves, privately and individually. And that's really not biblical, you know. You read the New Testament, Christians were together. They were drawn together. They wanted to be together. They wanted to flock together because they knew there was a lot of benefit in being together as believers. And there still is today. When we come together, when we flock together on Sunday morning, this understanding of a flock, biblically, and the words imply partnership. They imply participation, see, and protection. When the flock's together, there's a certain partnership that they join together and participation in watching for the danger and helping one another through those times. And standing up for each other to protect each other. They learn to get along. They learn the importance of being one. And there's a commonness in a flock of sheep that sustains them. Well, we learned last week that Christians are followers, how that's a less than desirable goal in society today. And today we see that Christians, often referred to as sheep, are to be flockers. There's importance in that. There's 187 occurrences in the King James Version alone of God's people, namely Christians, being part of a flock and the importance of that. In the references in the Psalms refer to the sheep and the fate of people being like the fate of sheep, that they're destined to the grave. The Psalms talk about how God has led His people through the desert like sheep, and we think of the desert wanderings when they were led out of captivity. Psalm 100, the psalmist says, "Know the Lord is good, is He who made us, we are His, we're His people, we're the sheep of His pasture." In Isaiah chapter 53, when Isaiah tells the people about their sinfulness, he says, "We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way." Talking about Jesus and his foreseeing his suffering, Isaiah said he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. You ever shear a sheep? When you shear a sheep, yeah, the sheep will give you a lot of they'll kind of fight a lot of resistance until you get control of the sheep and you flop the sheep down to shear it. And at that point, the sheep gives up and lays there and surrenders itself to the shearers. The shearers shear the sheep. And when they're done, the sheep jumps up and takes off. In 1 Peter, Peter says, "You are like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Speaking of Jesus and those that have come to Jesus. Today in the text, Jesus makes reference to his followers as his flock of sheep. He's teaching and he talks about the sheep and the sheep pen. "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way as a thief and a robber." You see, why would someone want to enter the sheep pen other than the gate? You know, there was the gatekeeper and there was the shepherd. They kept the sheep in these enclosures overnight to protect them. And oftentimes the shepherds would lay across the opening. So if they didn't try to get in, they'd be the first to fight them off. But there was also gatekeepers, and the shepherds would oftentimes go and spend the night together while the gatekeeper would watch over the sheep. Then the shepherd would come for his sheep in the morning, and there'd be all these sheep, different flocks from different shepherds, and the shepherds would stand outside and they'd call to their sheep, and the sheep recognized their voices, and the sheep would go to their individual shepherds. Pretty cool. Sheep aren't dumb, they're smart. But Jesus says that the watchman opens the gate, sheep listens to his voice, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he's brought all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They'll never follow a stranger. They'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Then Jesus went on and said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, the sheep didn't listen to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Now he's teaching about salvation here. He's teaching about eternal life. He's using the example of the sheep pen, the sheepfold. And he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd because he doesn't care. He doesn't own the sheep. They're not his. They don't belong to him. Jesus said, my sheep belong to me. My sheep belong to me. I'm not going to abandon them. I'm not going to run away from them. When the wolf attacks, when trouble comes. See? I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. One of the interesting things when I get into conversations with people who claim to be Christians, and I ask them, tell me about Jesus. Oh, he's that. And after a little while, you come to find out they don't really know. You say, how can you claim that Jesus is your shepherd and you don't really know? How do you follow somebody like that? How do you know it's them speaking when you feel Jesus speaking to you in your life and telling you to do something? How are you going to know? Jesus says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And he says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Now, there he was talking, mainly directing this to the Jews. You see, because Jesus came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And when he's talking about other sheep, he's talking about those outside of the community of Israel. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I have to bring them also, because they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock. One flock. Not different flocks from different religions and different faiths. There will be one flock. See? And one shepherd. One flock. And one shepherd. Sheep know something. First and foremost, they know the shepherd's voice. They depend on the shepherd's voice. Secondly, unbelievers are not his sheep. Because they don't believe in Jesus. We cannot accept the secular concept that we're all God's children and we're all God's sheep, because we are not. The Bible does not validate that. The Bible validates that by believing in Jesus, He gives us the right to become His children. See? And Jesus says, when the Jews challenged him and said, how long will you keep us in suspense and tell us if you are the Christ? Jesus said, I did tell you, but you do not believe. You do not believe because you're not my sheep. Okay? So we need to be clear on that this morning. Unbelievers are not Jesus' sheep because they don't believe in Jesus. Therefore, sheep are believers and they are convinced. You have to be convinced of something to believe in it and to trust in it. So how do you become convinced that Jesus is truly the Christ and that we need to follow Him? Well, we trust His Word in the Bible. We listen to His voice as we read. We trust Him, and as we trust Him, we find out that He does lead us in paths of righteousness, that He never leads us down a wrong path, and that He provides for us all that's needed in life. Sheep are convinced to follow a certain shepherd because they've come to realize that that shepherd will not let them down, nor will He let them be taken by the enemy surrounding them. They're convinced. They believe. They're believers. When Jesus prayed in John 17 the night before he was crucified, he prayed to God that God would protect his sheep in the world, not just the sheep them, but the sheep who would come to believe in him. That's you and I. In Ephesians chapter 2, in our reading today, Paul writes about the believers that before they came to Christ, they were Gentiles by birth, they were the uncircumcised. They were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. They didn't have any hope. They were without God in the world. But through Christ, those who were far away now have been brought near through the blood of Christ. They're no longer foreigners. They're not aliens. They're fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. You know, folks, there's really something here to this Christianity thing. There really is something deeper, wider, more meatier to this Christianity thing. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with a person that we call the Good Shepherd. You see. And there are many black sheep, maybe in the fold, but we're one in Christ Jesus. We're one in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Ephesians, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. He said, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Though the flock's made up of many, it's essentially one according to its leader and its shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. Paul, as well as John in their writings, refer to the recipients, or they're writing to the recipients, their references to us, we. It's a communal thing that we do not do privately. We do together as a flock, gathered together for the same benefits that the sheep gather together in a flock. They know they're safer, they know they're more well off, and together they can feed in peace. Together they're guided by the voice of the shepherd. Together they're brought out to where the shepherd leads them, see. In Hebrews, the writer says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I want you to picture some sheep, and the one sheep saying to the other sheep, hey, we can't give up meeting together. Some of you are out there by yourselves, you're going to get eaten by the wolves. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be led in the wrong direction by false shepherds, promising you all these other benefits, greener pastures, fresher water. No, we can't give up meeting together. We have to encourage one another. You see, we have to encourage one another. In 1 John, the same John who wrote the Gospel says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that being Jesus Christ, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, with Jesus Christ. You see, it's a fellowship, a relationship together, not just me with Jesus, but us together with Christ as our head shepherd. Sometimes I need a lot of guidance, folks. I mean, I'm that black sheep. When you see the pictures of Jesus leading a group of white sheep, and there's one black one in that crowd, I'm the black one, aren't I? And when I read, we all like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, oh my gosh, that's talking right to me. But the important thing is that I stay connected to the flock, and that we stay connected together as Christians, not just this church, but the true church of Jesus Christ, which are the true body of believers, because we're safer as a flock. We're going in the right direction as a flock. We're encouraged together as a flock. And we cannot stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We see the empty pews here this morning. And I feel sad for those who are able but not willing to come and be part of the flock because they're endangered. As sheep, we have fellowship. We have a partnership in, and we have participation with the flock, like a flock of sheep. And our great shepherd is Christ Jesus, through whom we become one flock. And as the flock meets together, often we meet together today. We meet together today to listen for our shepherd's voice, to find comfort, to be fed, to express our praises to our Lord. I really shudder inside me when people say to me, well, you don't really have to go to church to be a Christian. That may be true in its own sense. But my gosh, don't you want to be part of the flock? Don't you want to be part of the flock? The benefits of being part of the flock are so much greater than being on the outside by yourself. And you watch sheep in a flock. There's a pecking order. They're pushing and they're shoving and they're banging and, you know, bah, bah, they're making all kinds of noise. They're trying to get to the food first. And if they just be a little patient once in a while, like we should be more often, they'll be fed. They'll be protected. They'll be led by led to greener pastures, calmer waters, because we have a great shepherd who calls us to be one, calls us to be together in fellowship, because Christians, believers, are supposed to be flockers. Let's pray. Lord our God, we pray this.